Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking.
Welcome, everyone, to Episode 5 of Fan Junkies Radio. I am your host, Jonathan Ragus. Alongside me, as always, Mike McShane from the Frat House. Mike, how you doing?
Oh, we're doing wonderful. Coming off that big celebration last night, first year anniversary for 5 minutes at the Frat House, and we're just flying high here.
Yeah, it was a great show, and you did it at McGurk's Pub in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania, and let me tell you, from the looks of it, it looks like a hell of a bar.
It is incredible. The place was positively packed. And I got to tell you, what a rush it was doing that show from there. Just so much energy, so much excitement. Terrific show. Great way to start the second year of our productions.
No, it was definitely a fantastic show. I enjoyed it. And hey, you know what? I say you do it every week, and I'm sure Brandon would like it.
Yeah, I'm sure he would.
Brandon, that one's for you, buddy. Well, listen, we got a lot to talk about, in the sports world. But first, I just want to mention a couple of topics here quick. One actually hitting a little close to home, as I've been running Ranger Nation for so many years, and I had to cover this tragedy a year ago today. The locomotive team from Russia, their plane crashed a year ago today, and, you know, we lost some phenomenal people on that flight, some very popular players as well, Kirill Rakunik, Ruslan Soley, Pavel Dimitra, Stefan Liv, Jan Marek, there was just so many people on that board, Igor Korolov, Brad McCrimmon.
Yep.
The popular Flyers, was he a defenseman, I believe, right?
Yeah, that was the one that hit home here in Philadelphia for us, was when McCrimmon went down.
Yeah, it was a shame. It was a tragedy. It shouldn't have happened. And also, I want to mention Joseph Vasicek, who's played in the NHL for many years. And,
yep.
Just a lot of people on air, a lot of young guys. It was sad. The youngest guy, I think, was only 18 years old. There was a 19-year-old on there, a couple of 20-year-olds. Just a tragedy, and I can't believe it's been a year already that, this happened. And, once again, our heartfelt condolences and our prayers out to the families of all that were affected by this plane crash. And, you don't get over it. You just try to move on and still live with it. So, I hope they're all doing as well as they possibly can after, all the tragedy they went through with this.
Absolutely.
Really sad. But and then also something else that happened last night that, could have been very, very dangerous. Well, it was dangerous, but it could have proved fatal was Oakland Athletics pitcher Brandon McCarthy was hit in the head with a line drive off the bat of Angels shortstop Eric Abar last night, and he had to actually be rushed in for emergency surgery.
Yep.
And, reading a thing today from the Los Angeles Times, and I was like, wow, I didn't know it was that dangerous of what happened.
Yep.
Dr. Jeffrey Manley, the vice chairman of the neurological surgery at UC San Francisco, said that the bone fragments from the skull fracture could have cut the middle meningeal artery, causing death.
Yeah, I was reading about it this morning on USA Today.
Wow.
Very scary situation. Mercifully, they didn't have any video up. I don't know if I'd want to see the video on it.
No, I'm sure we could find video. I just don't want to see it. But, that's just, wow.
It's a scary thing. Unfortunately,
absolutely,
it's part of sports. I mean, there's not much you can do to
prevent that. No, it is. I mean, we've seen many people, hit with pitches off the bats, a pitch being thrown, hitting them in the head and stuff happening in hockey. Pucks deflecting up and hitting people in the face. Brian Berard being one of them. I mean, his eye fell right, clean out of the socket.
Absolutely.
When he lost, most of his vision in that eye.
Yep.
It's a real shame, but, thankfully, Brandon McCarthy is doing okay.
That's what the report was. The report was he was doing pretty well.
Yeah, somebody was definitely on his side during that. So.
No doubt about it.
All right, Mike, but let's stay with baseball right now. Such a great story in baseball right now. I love it. Because it's an underdog team that I've always loved, you know, and I always rooted for in the American League. The Baltimore Orioles are actually tied for first place the first time since 1997, and they tied it up last night with a convincing 10-6 win over the New York Yankees.
Yeah, you gotta love this. I gotta, and you know, like you, Jonathan, I have been I've been a Baltimore Orioles fan going back to when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Phillies fan, obviously first and foremost. But on the American League side, if there's an American League team that I love, it's Baltimore and always have.
Yes.
And this is just, to me, it's fabulous. Got to thank the Yankees. They're doing their best imitation of the 2011 Red Sox, I got to tell you. 3-7 in their last 10, while Baltimore has capitalized on that, and they're 7-3 in their last 10, and that's really what has turned this whole thing around.
Well, you know what? The great thing about it is that the Orioles really don't have any of these finesse-type players who have good batting averages, because they don't. The only person on the team that has a semi-decent batting average behind Nick Markakis' 300 is Machado, who plays third base. You know, Chris Davis is batting around 259. Mark Reynolds is always below 250. Adam Jones has a 289. So between those three players, I mean, there's really not guys there hitting for a great average.
Well, you're absolutely right. And when you go over and take a look at the pitching staff as well, I mean, this is not a staff here that is loaded with tremendous pitchers.
No.
I'm just pulling up some numbers here real quick.
The great thing is that the pitchers they brought in, they shop smart, and you have to give a ton of credit to Buck Showalter for the use of his bullpen.
Absolutely.
Because between Luis Ayala, Darren O'Day, and just a few of these other guys, I mean, they're pitching phenomenal.
Well, you take a look at Hunter. Hunter's got a 5.90 ERA as a starter.
Yes.
Arrieta's got a 6.13 as a starter. These are not glam numbers. I mean, you know, and yet Baltimore seems to be managing I guess that kind of leads you to question. Not that I'm in any way discounting Baltimore, but you know, is this a Baltimore dominant team, or is it the Yankees just being really, really dreadful? They were 10 games. They were ahead by 10 games on July 18th.
Yes.
And now they're tied. So, I mean, look at how far they've fallen as quickly.
Well, the great thing is it's actually the bullpen. The starting pitchers are not that good, but they're keeping games close. And then you have a guy like Pedro Strop coming in who's pitching to a 2.14 ERA and has 23 holds. And then you're switching, you know, and then you're handing the ball over to guys like Darren O'Day coming in, you know, Matt Lindstrom and, you know, Luis Ayala, Troy Patton. And then you got Jim Johnson coming in who has 41 saves on the season, you know, to go along with his 2.83 ERA. I mean, this bullpen has been phenomenal, but you got to give the credit to Buck Showalter for using him. He knows who to use and when to use him at the right time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it is thrilling, and it's fun. And I got to tell you, sorry if there's Yankee fans out there, but I'm rooting for the O's.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, who isn't? You know, people always root for the underdogs, especially when it's against the Yankees. It never fails.
And if there's some Yankee fans out there, I think they ought to call in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yankee fans, you can call in at 347-237-5373. Orioles fans as well, please call in. Let us know what you think about your team this year. And also, if the Orioles make it into the playoffs, can they compete in the playoffs against some of the top teams in the Major League Baseball?
Yeah. How would they do against a team like Texas, huh?
I tell you, you know what? I don't think they would advance. I think they would compete a little bit, but I honestly don't see them going far in the playoffs. If they do, that's great. I'd love to see it. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, this is a nice thing for the O's. I mean, is it the 20th anniversary of Camden Yards? I believe it's the 20th year anniversary. This is a really nice thing to have happening for the O's down there. Dave and I were down there, back in July.
Yes.
Down to Camden Yards. And what a beautiful, fabulous, fabulous ballpark that is.
Yeah.
And they're celebrating their 20th anniversary. I think it's fabulous that they are where they are.
Yeah, no, it's a great bowl club. It's a great city. I love everything about the Orioles, and this coming from a Mets fan, good for them. You know, and to do this without, you know, Nolan Reimold and, you know, so many other guys that have been injured, because they've been hit with the injury bug a ton this year, the Orioles, and they're still competing. So good for them.
Yeah, what's really cool, too, like I said, as they're going through their whole celebration this year of the 20th anniversary of the ballpark, they've been bringing back some of the old-timers. So I believe Ripken's supposed to be coming in yet. Eddie Murray was there a couple of weeks ago. And this is just great for the fans down in Baltimore. Terrific for them.
Man, you know what, man? It makes me feel old when you say old-timers and then you throw out names like Eddie Murray and Cal Ripken, because these are guys that I, you know, watched so many times. You know,
yeah.
Whether it was the Orioles even, you know, or even the Mets with Murray and Jesse Orosco, who pitched, you know, great for them in 1997 when they were actually in first place the last time. So it's great. You know, good luck to the organization. We hope you actually go far in the playoffs, Baltimore.
Going to keep watching them all through September.
Absolutely. But let's go to our ridiculous piece of the week. And what are we talking about here, Mike? We're talking about, will FSU beat
Savannah State. Yeah.
70.5 point spread. Now let's talk about how ridiculous this is. And Mike, I want you to give me your honest opinion on what you think about this.
Would you expect anything different than an honest opinion? I just did up a whole story on this one. I think you saw it, Jonathan, this week on the matchup Savannah State had last week against Oklahoma State.
Yes.
OSU went into that game as a 67.5 point favorite over Savannah State. Now, you want to talk about ludicrous. OSU is a Big 12 school, 35,000 students. Savannah State enrollment, 3,500 students. They're playing in the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. You know, I've never even heard of them. And they go into this game at OSU, by the way. They're playing at OSU, which is, you know, the stadium holds more than Savannah State enrolls.
Yes.
And they can probably get blown out 84-0.
Probably.
You know, you thought that was bad enough, but then they're going to play FSU this week. And you thought, well, hey, nobody could get a bigger point spread than last week, 67.5 points. No, what is it this week? It's 70, over 70 points. FSU is favored. Now, you know something I got to tell you? I really don't want to nail Savannah State too badly. I know that perhaps maybe their thinking is, yeah, we'll put these on our schedule. We'll put these matchups on our schedule because it gets us face time. You know, we're going to get on television perhaps. We get a little bit of exposure. But I don't know if this is the way to do it. I mean, really, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
These matchups, and you know, then to call this a real matchup, you know, Oklahoma State last week went into that game ranked 19th.
Yeah.
And because of that 84-0 win, they jumped to 18th. Come on, folks, that shouldn't even be counted. That's ridiculous.
Listen,
how's that for honesty? You like that honesty?
That's great. I love it. I'm not going to say I know much about college sports because I don't. It's one thing I can never get into, and the other thing I couldn't really get into was NASCAR. I'm sorry, Mike. I know that's your most favorite thing in the world, but two things I could never really get into. But when you talk about point spreads, which is something I really don't care about at all, but 70.5, how can they even put Savannah State in conferences and up against teams like that?
It's ridiculous. And like I said, to have this count, you know, like, is this going to jump FSU's ranking next week? That shouldn't even be considered.
Yeah.
It's outrageous. Oh, okay, so we're going to jump FSU up one point in the rankings because they kicked tail on a school that's got 3,500 students at it?
Yeah.
That's –
But
you know.
Here's the funny part. When they opened the season, Savannah State lost 84-0 to Oklahoma State. And then FSU, they defeated Murray State 69-3.
You know, so
I'm sorry, but even in the professionals, when a terrible team faces off against a great team, you don't see anything like that.
Well, you know, should we be running out right now when we're done the show here and putting a little money down on FSU?
I don't know, man. I think I might try to take an equity loan out and throw a little money at this because, listen, for that 84-0 loss, if we would have bet, Mike, let me tell you.
I know.
We would have been happy people.
Well, in the article that I wrote, I said, I'm going to tell you, I mean, as somebody who does follow the point spreads and I follow the lines, particularly when it comes to football season, both in college and in pro, I see a 67.5 point spread, and I'm going, oh, no, there's no way I'm going near that game. If anything, I'm going to throw a little money Savannah State's way saying there's no way LSU could cover that spread. So I would bet, really, when it came right down to it, there was probably more money last week going on Savannah State than there was on OSU's side because people would just be playing it exactly the way that I suggested. You know, who's going to play that a team would cover a 67.5 point spread? Now, after last week's performance, I would bet probably FSU is getting most of the money now. And there's probably a bunch of degenerate gamblers out there who are probably going, hey, yeah, let's go root for FSU. Come on, get 80, 85, get 94.
Well, you know what? The great thing is going to be if somehow Savannah State hangs in there and loses by a touchdown, I'll love it.
Oh, it would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
I love it. I love it. You know what? Talk about fuel for trying to win a game.
Well, you know something? It might actually make it interesting just to watch that one, just for the fun of it.
You know what? I might just have to watch it myself. You know what? Maybe we should do a frat house for McGurk so Brandon can bring all the equipment over and we can watch it there.
And we can watch, yeah, right. We'll do another show. Right? There we go. I got to tell you, I mean, college football is such a joke when you compare it to college basketball.
Oh, absolutely.
But the NCAA has got their act together when it comes to men's basketball. But this whole football thing is such ridiculous. I mean, it is just so, so ridiculous. The BCS and all of it. I mean, they just need to blow the whole damn thing up and start over again.
It's a moneymaker, man. It's a moneymaker. That's what they want it to be, and that's what they wanted to do.
Yeah, well.
You know, that's it. So
hopefully Savannah sees a little bit of money coming their way somehow or another, because if you keep playing schedules like this, wow.
Yeah, it'll be something. You know what? But that's for our ridiculous piece of the week, and it's always great when we have stuff like that to talk about because, you know, you and me, very opinionated, so we like to bust shops, and I'm still a little peeved over the Phil Knight thing, so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But you know what? That was for the first episode. We won't get back into that today. But you know what? Let's switch over to the National Football League, and man, let me tell you, it was great watching the Cowboys and the Giants, only because football is back.
Absolutely.
Male Christmas. Beautiful timing. So what we're going to talk about right now, we're going to talk about the Indianapolis Colts and the Washington Redskins, and we're going to throw them right into the bottom of the well, Andrew Luck versus RG3. Mike, who do you think is going to be the better quarterback this season?
Well, I had an opportunity to watch both of them last year in the college ranks. And, so much was being made right from the very beginning of the year. You know, Luck was going to – he was almost adorned as the Heisman Trophy winner going into the season last year.
Yes.
I think it was actually kind of neat that RG3 ultimately pulled that one off. I watched both of them, and here's what I came away from. There's no doubt about it. Both are very, very talented, skilled, instinctive football players. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Luck, in my opinion, is more prepared to game-ready prepared to take over a football team right now.
Yeah.
And I think that the preseason proved that. RG3, on the other hand, I think RG3, and here's my prediction on this. I think in the end, when we're looking at this, I don't know, in maybe, 15 years from now, I think in the end, RG3 will probably turn out to be a better quarterback than Andrew Luck, but not this season.
Yes.
He's going to need a season to get seasoned.
Yeah.
And that's my suspicion on it.
Well, you know what? I hate to say it. I think RG3 is set up to succeed more than Andrew Luck is. I don't like anything about the Colts anymore. I don't like their team. I don't think they have anybody that Luck can really click with and make into a superstar wide receiver. But I think the Redskins are on the right path of getting there. And I think that RG3 is on a quicker path of being there as well. I think Luck is going to show this season that he's a little bit better than RG3, but I wouldn't be shocked that if RG3 comes out of this season as the better quarterback than Andrew Luck. I think too much is on Luck for a franchise that has succeeded so many times over the last 10 to 12 seasons that he's going to probably just falter under the pressure. That's what I think. I mean, I know Indianapolis is not a media market like New York and Los Angeles is, but Washington has a pretty good media market. I really don't care what anybody says. I like the Washington media. You know, the fans aren't as insane as New York, Philadelphia, and Los Angeles and San Francisco and whatnot. But I think that RG3 has just a little bit less pressure on him than Andrew Luck does.
That's an excellent point, Jonathan. I couldn't agree with you more. I think, if anything, there's more pressure on Luck to perform quicker, faster, and with positive numbers than RG3 because of the fact that there's a history there with Indianapolis.
Yep.
Down in Washington, I don't think there is as much so. I think the folks down in Washington probably sit back and go, look, we've been mediocre for years. This is a building block. If we go 1 year at a time, that's fine. You know, if we have a – I would venture a bet, and this is just me talking off the top of my head. I don't know this for a fact. But I would venture a bet that if you talk to the fan base in Washington, the Redskins fan base, they'd be happy with a 500 season.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So they're, I don't think they're necessarily saying, oh, okay, we're now Super Bowl bound. But when you look at the comparisons, I think in the long term, and I think that's really, I guess, where I was going with it, saying, you know, if you look in a crystal ball and go down 15 years from now, when you take a look at some of the skill sets that I think that RG3 brings that I think are better than Andrew Luck, he's a mobile quarterback. He can move around.
Yeah.
I see Luck as being a much more pocket passer. He's going to drop back. He's going to do that three-step, that four-step drop into the pocket, and that's where he's going to stay. You're not going to see him moving around.
Yeah.
I think the greater mobility is going to be coming with RG3. I think in the end that will make him a more versatile quarterback.
Yeah. Plus, you know what? I like his accuracy on his passes. I think he has phenomenal accuracy on his passes. I don't think he's going to get, put in that group as a Michael Vick. I don't think he's going to get put in that group as a Cam Newton. I think he's going to use his mobility when he needs to do it, but I don't think he's going to overuse it like those guys did or like Donovan McNabb did in his early seasons in Philadelphia.
I don't have the numbers directly in front of me at this moment right now, but I believe I was reading those somewhere. Just to counter your point there, in the preseason, if I'm not mistaken, though, Andrew Luck had a better QB rating than RG3 did in the preseason. Now, it's preseason, all right? So, I don't put
in a regular season, the rating is really not that much of a difference. I think Luck is like a 162 in four seasons, and then RG3 is 155. But remember, he was, he was injured in 2009, so he only played three games.
Yeah, I don't know, though.
So that definitely reflects against him.
I don't know if it's a fair comparison, though, to be looking at QB ratings from college because, you know.
Oh, because it's a whole different ballgame.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But, I mean, but that's the only statistics we have to work on with them.
Well, we do have QB ratings, though, from the preseason that we've just gotten finished.
Yes.
And when you look at those, if I'm not mistaken, again, I said I don't have the numbers up directly in front of me, but I was reading the other day that, in fact, Luck, I believe, had a better QB rating in the preseason games that he played versus RG3.
Yes.
I would not be a bit surprised come the end of the season if that's what we find, when the season's concluded overall.
Yeah.
But I do not believe that it's an indicator of the potential of RG3 because, as I said, I think RG3 will turn out to be the better quarterback. That's just my personal opinion.
I totally agree with you, and I hate to say it, but I think both quarterbacks are going to have a better time than Sam Bradford down in St. Louis. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, we're safe when we need him.
Are you listening? Come on. Where's the comments from the peanut gallery, Dave? Listen, the shots are being fired. There's a rivalry going on right now between Frat House and the Fan Junkies. Not a violent one, at least not yet, until we go to McGurk's and have a few drinks, right?
Absolutely. With Brandon, they're filming the whole thing every week.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be great. You have to have him walking in with the trunks with all the equipment in it.
Absolutely.
Good
He'll
stuff.
Need an hour to set up.
Good stuff. Well, for listeners, if you want to call in, the number is 347-237-5373. We have a little over 5 minutes left in the show. If you want to call in and ask a question or throw a comment our way, please do it. We're actually welcoming that. You can do it. The show is for you. It's
Absolutely.
Fun. You can do it. Pick up the phone.
This is too much fun.
Phone won't bite. Still no calls. Okay. All right. Well, you know what? We have a little time left, but you know what? Let's talk about Art Modell, who passed away this week. The former Cleveland Browns and Baltimore Ravens owner. And you had a good point earlier. Should Art Modell still be vilified in Cleveland? I'll let you actually talk about that first. What's your opinion on that?
You know, I got up yesterday morning, and of course, you know, one of the first things I do with my cup of coffee is I'm reading through the sports pages.
Yeah.
And, it comes over that Art Modell passed away. And my first initial reaction was, oh, wow. You know, now I think he was, 87 years old, I believe. And so, you know, that doesn't come as a surprise, but you sit there and you go, wow, what a giant this guy was for the NFL. Look at the things that this guy did. And then as the day goes on, you start to hear the negative, the nasty, the vitriolic talk coming out of Cleveland. And you sit back and you, as an outsider looking in, and somebody who's just a fan of the NFL and a fan of football, and you respect and you recognize people for what they've done, and you sit back and you go, what the heck? Seriously? You guys are going to continue to hold a grudge. Now, I understand. You know, he went and he moved that team from Cleveland down to Baltimore. That was a team that was losing him money. All right? This wasn't the same thing as moving the Colts with Irsay from Baltimore to Indianapolis. This was a guy that was trying and tried his best up in Cleveland to get that team, solid and making money. And it was losing money every year. He had to do something.
Yes.
Not to mention that the guy just did enormous things for football. We today would not know what NFL television football is without Art Modell.
Absolutely. He was just a huge part of that. A huge part of getting the games on the air.
You know, I understand. And look, I guess if I were a Cleveland native, and somebody went and ripped my heart out by taking a team that I grew up with,
you would still be pissed years later.
I suppose I would be. But I think at some point or another, you kind of got to step back and you got to go, all right, the guy did this horrible thing. I really don't like him for it. But let's take a look at some of the other stuff he's done. That guy negotiated for the NFL for 30 years for TV contracts.
Yeah.
30 years, all right, from 1962 to 1993.
Yeah.
He was the head negotiator to television, all of the networks.
Yes.
And that, as we well know, has completely changed the entire game of football.
Oh, he absolutely did. And if there's any Cleveland Browns fans listening in, you can actually sign on www.fanjunkies.net. Sign up for your free account there. It's a lot of fun. And you know what? Why don't you tell us what you think of Art Modell years later after, he took them out of Cleveland and put them in Baltimore.
Where do you come down on it, Jonathan?
He did so much for the game of football, but it honestly has nothing to do with it. It honestly has something to be, of being such a diehard Cleveland Browns fan. And I have to think of it is, what if they took the Jets, the Rangers, the Mets, or the Knicks out of New York, and they moved them somewhere else, and they renamed them something else, and just the franchise was dead? That's what you have to think about. And in my case, if that happened, I would despise the owner. But in another way, the teams are still there, and I still despise the owners. So it's just, which one is going to weigh down further? That's basically where I think of it. It sucks what happened, but the man is now passed on. Rest in peace, Art Modell. Our condolences are with, his family and his friends, of course. But, it's a shame, and I'm sure a lot of Cleveland Browns fans got over it. I'm sure he's not their favorite person, but I don't think that hatred is there now as it was 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because Cleveland's back and the NFL did the right thing of getting a team back in Cleveland as quick as they could.
Yeah, I mean, you make a valid point. I'm sitting here and I as you went through that, and I'm kind of putting myself in that position. You know, if they move to the Eagles, if they move the Phillies, the Flyers, how am I going to respond to that? You're right. I'd probably be pretty pissed off.
Oh, no, we absolutely would be. All of us would be. I don't care who says they wouldn't be.
Yeah.
That's Jack, if they say that. All right, Mike. Well, you know what? I think it's time to wrap up episode 5 here of Fan Junkies Radio. And once again, it was a blast.
Oh, another fast-moving one, man. I can't. 30 just flies.
5 episodes already, man. This is going great, and we have a lot of things working out over here. We're talking to some potential guests that are coming on, some pretty big names. And we hope to get them lined up for the upcoming weeks. And if we do, we might even be moving from a half an hour to an hour, maybe even 2 hours. Who knows?
That would be outstanding. Outstanding. Because 30 minutes just flies.
It flies.
Oh, my gosh. I got a list of at least 3 or 4 other things that, maybe we'll hold them for Monday, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's wrap this up. And we just want to thank everybody once again for listening in. And don't forget to listen in on Monday for episode 6 of Fan Junkies Radio. For Jonathan Ragus and my buddy Mike McShane, and of course, in Mike's immortal words, keep us live, keep us real. Thank you for listening in.
You got it.